started with session three here. We have several great talks lined up. These are some excellent papers they presented. I'm excited to see the research and the things that these guys have to show. This time we have Jonathan Baker and Jordan Crabtree, who are here from BYU, presenting some research they did in what they're calling PatML, which is a interesting way of gathering data from a lot of online resources that don't have an open API to get. So we'll let them go.
I'm going to be using the microphone. Jonathan will be using the roving mic. We're presenting pattern markup language, a tool for simplifying data extraction from semi-structured sources. Jonathan Baker, Hilton Campbell, myself, and Dr. Embley worked on this. The need for extracting genealogical information becomes evident when we view a page like Cindy's List. It contains quite a bit of information. There we go. If we just follow a random link of famous people, we arrive at another page where we can follow a page with cowboys, Wild West, and we arrive at this kind of fun page, which is Kansas Gunfighters. And this is just a small sliver of a much larger genealogical resources. It's kind of a fun page. And as we scroll down, we can see that it contains some genealogical information. We may want to extract this. You can see it has a name, and some aliases and some dates. But how to extract it is really what we're going for here. One approach that we took with some websites was to create site-specific parsers. But with the vast amount of volume of sites that there are, that just wasn't feasible. And we were looking for an easier way. When you view HTML source, you can see structural patterns. In this case, there are the tags and as well as dashes and parentheses written by people. And using some text editors, this one's from Eclipse, the find and replace tool actually accepts regular expressions. And through regular expressions, we can identify these structural patterns. And through capturing groups, et cetera, we can extract the data that we need. And the same regular expression can extract data from more than one person. This happens to be the person's name. So the idea is to write several regular expressions to extract birth date, death date, and the name, and then identify which relationships are contained within the page. Here we have a death date, a birth date, a given name, and some aliases for William H. Bonney. What we did was we used a simple schema in order to represent our relationships. This contains all the relationships I said before, and then we combine the schema with regular expressions. In this way, we're able to represent this whole tree by XML, and that's our pattern markup language that we're presenting. And in that way, we can extract all the information we need and then associate that with these elements, these schema elements, and eventually get all the pieces of information necessary for a person.
Thank you, Jordan. So when we know the types of relationships between the data types that we're going to be looking for, we can set that up with the first of the two tools that we developed, the schema generator. This is because what we developed is applicable not only to genealogy, but many other types of information. And so we are able to program in individually what types of information. Our base is a person, and then that person has several elements, and we're able to program that in. And then we've got a separate editor so that you can program in what regular expressions will find those specific pieces of information in different sites. And you'll be able to use this for each of many different sites. We've used it on several so far. I'll show you first how to use the schema generator. In our example, we're only going to be creating a person because this is genealogy. You first establish what the schema is, your base type of data. You can see you can add the node and then change the name. And because a site might or a page might have several different people on it, we're going to call it a genealogy sheet rather than just a person. But that genealogy sheet is going to have a person element. And then we can add more nodes under that, add a child node. That person is going to have a gender, a name, a birth, and in that birth, we're going to have a date and a location and possibly other elements. So this is very customizable. We could enter in any type of information we wanted here. If we know that some sites are going to have LDS ordinance information, we could include that in here as well. I'm going to make just a simple one here. And you might be wondering what this over here is. Our base element is the schema, and the elements of that are usually singles, but in the case of a child or a marriage, for example, you can specify that multiple instances of that same thing are allowed, which changes it into a multi. So a single person may have multiple children. That's what we've told it there. Then when you're done, you can save it. And then we'll take that same file and we'll use it in the PaddleML editor. You first get the schema file that you just created, and then we'll see in a minute that there's a browser, a regular web browser, that's part of the tool that you can use to find a sample page on the site that you're interested in extracting information from. And then we'll be adding nodes similar to what we just did, but we'll also be adding the regular expressions to find the types of information that we're looking for. And we'll be able to see what those expressions are matching, both in the source code and on the browser, and then we'll be able to adjust the regular expressions as needed. We'll see that. So this is what the PaddleML editor looks like. Over here we've got the source code of the page. Down here we have a rendered version of the page, and that can be made larger by dragging this. And over here we have the tree that we're creating. You can see that we've got the person with their name and the birth again. And over here, we've got regular expressions that are being highlighted in the colors that we'll see over here and down here. So I'll show you how we'd use that. After you load the schema file that we created with the other editor, it brings up first the base element, a genealogy sheet. And then to that, we can add a pattern, a regular expression. We can specify the color that it'll be highlighted with. And then we edit that regular expression, that pattern, so that we can type. And as we type, it will match and highlight over in the source code and down here. And we can see it as we go. And if you know about regular expressions, you'll be able to see why this is highlighting what it is. And we've explained to it that for this type, for this site, we expect it to say, this site powered by the new genealogy system. Or for different sites, it would say something different. That's so that another application that's built on top of this isn't going to try to use the wrong tree and PaddleML to find expressions, to find the information in the wrong site. So nothing would be returned if this were a completely different site. So we've got that. And now under that, we can tell it that there's going to be the person who has a name. And under the name, then again, we can add a pattern and begin to type. And it's only going to be searching for that pattern inside of whatever the previous expression found. So this expression found all of this red area here. This expression only gets to search in there. So this red is what is needed to create a person. And what's in the orange is what's needed to find a name. And then we can search inside of that again. And then we can search again until we see that we've found the actual information. And then we can keep going with the other elements that we saw before until we have something like this, where all of the information that we're interested in is highlighted. So we have his name, Gregory Clark. We can find his birth date, which is in green as well, and then each of his children's names. This tree structure then can be saved as an XML file that can be applied to any site or any page that has this same layout to find the same types of information, so it's standardized. So we can compare it to what we find on other sites to see if they're the same person, and just they've been distributed over two different pages. Jordan?
Some of the benefits of our pattern markup language is that it's quick to write a new regular expression tree for any site, and it's adaptable to any text-based document. To date, Genesis, which was Hilton Campbell's demo, you may have seen it out in the hall, uses pattern markup language files to search a variety of sites, for example, TNG, Retrospect, GDS, and Family Search. It also can be used with GEDCOM and Kansas Gunslingers. it standardizes information for a common data model and simultaneously searches other sites for people with similar information. This is a screenshot from Genesis, and this was extracted from a TNG site, the next generation site, using pattern markup language. It's a hierarchy of English aristocracy. Our results were that we produced PatML that once again extracts data from the following sites. Our user interface allows for improved debugging environment, and it took us roughly 1/10 the coding time with PatML generation tools compared to the parsers that we previously created for some of the sites that we were looking into. Some of the limitations are that the patterns within a page source must be recognizable with regular expressions, and even regular sites have page-to-page HTML variations, causing some errors, not unlike ones you would find writing site-specific parsers. Programmer error using regular expressions happens. Regular expression operations can slow down parsing of sites. Future work includes we have a plan to automatically generate regular expressions or a plan to research into that. We'd like to include parsing links to extract data on connected pages and use in other applications and fields other than genealogy and use XPath approaches rather than regular expressions for some sites. That's it.
Are there any questions? Yes. Yes.
Is there any sort of regression going back to the pages you already got things right on to make sure you didn't break?
It can keep on the, can you go back a couple slides? Well, that's way back there. But on the address bar there will keep track of what pages you've been to. And so if you write this one, genealogysite.com, I made that up. But if you were using it for real, it would be keeping track of where you've been, so you would be very easy to go back to the other sites and see if it's still highlighting correctly. Anything else?
So you were able to use this to put together a tree, and from like this example here, you don't have any information that associates this child here with like Bob Clark, with Bob Clark on the next page that shows his children. Did you use effect IDs, or how did you connect the people together?
Right, yeah, we allowed for the schema that we used included person identifiers that we would find within certain pages, and that would be used within further tools to link.
What kind of identifiers? I know I've tried parsing GEDCOM for this HTML, and typically there aren't any good identifiers.
It depends on the site. Some sites don't have them. Retrospect GDS does. Within links connecting pages, they contain identifiers, and that's the ones that we use. Also, TNG has some as well. And JEDCOM files themselves have them. But you're right, some do not have identifiers. Some.
What we did was take somebody's on the GEDCOM produced HTML page, there would be a person and his children and his parents. And so we would match that up, basically, with other pages we looked at, making sure that not just the name was correct, but that the parents or the children were correct, too. Is it possible to do that with...
Our research didn't really...
You would need to have a schema that extended to finding the person's parents. And on this simple example, I didn't make a page that included the person's parents. But you could create a schema that had that. And one of the things that we'd like to do later is make it so that you can parse and find the URL for another page to look for. And then that would be able to go recursively and say this had a link to Greg Clark's parents' page. And then you would be able to go to that person's page and then either use these same expressions or different ones to find their information as well. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes?
I just wanted to mention, this is kind of something that genealogists have done for years, just manually. And one of the problems that occurs with this is that there's no way to, if you're not in the original records, you can't see. If you see someone who should be or looks like they should be a parent or something, there's no way to really identify that. And I've actually had clients who had four bad generations built on one of these sour apples because of that, because it looks like this person should be the right one. But I guess in the end, software would you include something that flagged that and let them know, this may not be a match? Or
this isn't meant to be the end use. It would be something like Genesis, where they have a matching algorithm to see if it's a good match. Is that what you mean?
Right. And I guess we probably don't have the time to kind of go into that, but maybe I'll talk to you after.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anything else? Yes.
So like hidden Markov models or conditional random fields, which actually take regular expressions as input for features,
okay,
and then provide a little bit of ability to handle malformed input.
Mm. Okay.
So it might be an interesting opportunity for some further research work.
Okay. That's a little bit like what we were thinking with the XPath, that it would actually use the HTML and see what fields and things it had. Something like that. Thank you.